This is Detective Tom Lang from the Los Angeles Police Department. Your ex-wife, Nicole Simpson, has been killed. I'm so sorry, Mr. Simpson.
Something big's happening here.
We're taking him to trial.
Hey, welcome to Killer Serials. People versus OJ Simpson, episode 8.
8. Can you believe it? There's only 2 left.
Next week's going to be good. This week? Oh,
this week was a setup for the last 2.
This week, not a fan.
This is why I'm frustrated
all about
with the
jury. And I get the Stockholm fetched that these people are they don't even show like any kind of humanity toward one another. And really would the racism be that overt right there in the room with each other?
Yeah, I don't know. That was the first question I had. Like when it was Martin versus Seinfeld. Of course I would have been like, let's watch Martin. I was like, damn, Gina.
I would have been Seinfeld all the way. And then he's like, that show's about nothing. Oh my gosh. Get this.
But no, this episode very much felt like a setup for the last 2. Which begs the question, like I watch so many shows. I'm just constantly watching television shows. I just finished the second season of Daredevil today. And there's a lot of shows where you think, man, cut 2 episodes, make it or more, make it 6 or 8, but it's this filler. And I don't know where we get this 10 episode model. I mean, that's just my own ignorance. I should know that, but I don't. But, you know, when you're bound by 10 episodes to fill that order and you don't have enough story, you get episodes like this one.
I don't know
that this episode added anything to the conversations you and I have been having. Do you?
Nothing. Other than the fact that I guess if they left the jury totally unexplored, then we get to the not guilty verdict and we're all like, WTF, you know? Like,
yeah.
And so giving us some insight into what a total clusterfuck the jury is.
Yeah.
Then you're like, oh, now you can see how.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny that the both.
It all went down the way it did.
Both teams of attorneys basically have a poster board, and they already can tell by like facial expressions and racial profile which way each juror is going to vote, and they have nicknames for the jurors.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
It never really explained why the jurors wore black into the courtroom. I mean,
I think it was like a protest, protest.
I think it was that too, but again, it was a little odd, like.
Could you imagine having been in that jury, though?
Oh, my gosh, what a nightmare.
For that long? I saw when I heard no TV, I was like, uh-uh, I'm done.
I mean, it's funny. They walk into the Intercontinental, and they're like, damn, son, this is the best hotel I've ever
been to. And then when he goes to turn on the TV and it's not there, I sympathized. I was like, oh, that poor soul.
And then they're just like runny eggs, and the chick just like – she goes bonkers and she like jumps over the ferns and makes a run for it.
And that woman was like, well, that's a way to do it.
You know who I want to know more about is Judge Ito.
I thought he was pretty good in this.
He was so good.
He was like when he told both of them to shut up and he's like, he's like the look on his face. He's dealing with children.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what?
He's like, you really expect me to keep a juror who lied about domestic abuse on her questionnaire? Oh,
technically, it wasn't rape.
She's like, did you just say that? Yeah, I mean, we're seeing a little bit of character development. The one thing I think that's interesting is you see Johnny Cochran and Marcia Clark out on the smoker's deck 2 or 3 times kind of sharing some humanity. Like,
okay.
And you're like, okay, this is just their jobs. Like, this isn't their lives. Like, he's defending a client. She's prosecuting a client. They could be flipped. It's just they're doing their jobs. They're out. It's time for a smoke break.
Back to humanity, or back to Ito and this issue of humanity. Yeah. Do you remember in the first or second episode when he was tapped to be the judge?
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, is it his wife comes in?
Yeah, she's like a deputy.
She has trouble signing this document?
Because she knows Furman.
Do you think that comes back next episode? Because that's a little note they've left.
Yeah, that's one of the few things that they... That's right. That's been hanging out there. That she looked down the list and
paused at Furman.
And paused at Furman. And we know Furman's the linchpin.
Yeah.
And we've even seen, you know, even if you watch the, like, coming next week, you saw that there's a tape that undercuts Furman's whole testimony.
Yeah.
So you do see the humanity. And how about, speaking of seeing humanity, and I mean, there's racial stuff going on too, of course, because Ito's Asian, and we have our only, there's no Asians. Look, there are a lot of Asians in Los Angeles.
Koreatown.
Right?
Hello. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It is its own community. I mean, it's, you know, it's huge.
I know. It's tons of Asians live in Los Angeles. And we have only our second Asian in this very racially charged show, our second Asian. And it's what? It's the criminologist who's explaining DNA.
Which you're anticipating a thing I want to talk about. But you're right. One of the fascinating things about this community and living in Los Angeles, I watched the episode of the Bourdain show, not No Reservations, but what's his new show? And Parts Unknown. And he goes to L.A. and he spends a lot of time in Koreatown. And the history that he tells in his episode, he focuses on Koreatown during the riots. Mm-hmm. And there were no support system. There were no first responders coming to help Koreans during the riots and the looting.
Yeah.
And there showed images of Korean store owners standing on the roofs of their stores with shotguns because there was nobody to come. So to your point, I mean, that was such a huge part of the riots, but it's virtually absent in the show.
And how are no Asians drawn for the jury either?
For the jury. Yeah, that's like, an interesting thing.
It's like 2/3 black, 1/3 white, and that's it. And no Hispanics either.
And that's all they ever talked about. And the show is what, I mean, you know, again, we're dealing with the show, but if the show is at least matching up, you know, casting, right, the ethnicities of the people that they're playing, right?
Yeah.
And that's what the jury looked like. You know, it's interesting why that wasn't another part of the conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But so what I like about the criminologist is I'm trying to remember, there was a recent conversation I had about talking about theology and spirituality and stuff and science. But I am fascinated by this part of the show. And we say this episode didn't add anything, and here we are, we're like 10 minutes in talking about this episode. Mm-hmm. But the ease, like the speed with which people dismiss the DNA stuff.
Yeah.
And this was how long ago? Recently, right? That we've just
20 it. And then you look at 19.
But then you watch Making a Murderer, right? And the DNA conversation there. It's all about the DNA. But
I get the impression now, yeah.
But that's being manipulated.
True, but I get the impression that back then there were like, dude, don't use the DNA, it's gonna bore those jurors to death. And I think now we're like, DNA is absolutely, like, if you got DNA in a criminal trial, that's just like, say that to the jury. We got DNA. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, okay, game over.
but not necessarily. I mean, think about the Stephen Avery thing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you could still manipulate that. But I agree with you. Like, 20 years ago, people were like, you could just see their eyes glass over when he's trying to explain what DNA is. And she catches it, to Marsha Clark's credit. She realizes she's losing the jury, and she changes tack and just gets him basically to speak English about what he does and what his findings were.
So who's this character that takes down the criminologist? What attorney is that?
I should have looked that up. I don't know.
It's the actor from what was he on, Grey's Anatomy?
No. Wasn't that the guy from Northern Exposure? He looks like that dude from Northern Exposure.
He is. But now he's wearing a wig. And it's so funny because here's another little character study. Like, he's so in the background and he's so quiet. And he's like, he's their nerd. He's the nerd on Johnny Cochran's defense team. Right?
Yeah.
And then then it's his turn to cross-examine a witness. And the dude is on fire.
Yeah. Like, he hits a home run. He's like one of the few home runs for the – other than the glove.
He hits an absolute home run. But what's in the background of his entire cross-examination of the criminologist?
It's that early, behind him?
I mean, what's in the background is that earlier in the episode, we see once again the creeping, growing doubts of Robert Kardashian.
Oh, yes. Yep.
And he says to that guy, what about the DNA? And the guy's like, hey, the whole crime scene was corrupted. You know, we're good. But
Rob Morrow is the actor.
Rob Morrow, yeah. But that's not Kardashian's real question. The real question isn't, was the crime scene tainted? The real question is that OJ's DNA, and how did Nicole's DNA get inside the Bronco? And he's like, that's irrelevant.
He just totally dismisses it.
It's irrelevant to the jury, but it's totally relevant to Bob Kardashian, who has moment with his ex-wife.
Which I thought was a great scene.
Yeah. He's like, I'm so sorry. And what do you think he's saying I'm so sorry for? For bringing OJ into their lives?
And you know, at this point, real Robert Kardashian, his friend of 20-something years, realizing that his best friend is a brutal killer.
Yeah, right.
So I think he's probably apologizing for that he missed it. But, I mean, you know, we've all had friends who, like, do things, you know, that we've known for a long time, and we're like, why did you do that? But, you know, hopefully that didn't involve murder. But,
right.
You know, I thought that was an interesting scene, really.
Yeah.
Somebody who's kind of taken a back seat over the last 6 episodes.
Well, let's talk about this. Let's do a little prediction because this episode wasn't the greatest. I mean, it was an important filler. It sets up the last 2 episodes. So, in the last 2 episodes, I mean, we know what's going to happen. So there's no speculation about. We know the verdict.
Yeah.
But what do you think happens behind the scenes with Marcia Clark and Chris Darden?
Done. Nothing.
Like, they're over. Like, I think they're romantically over with, but can they even work together anymore?
I don't think so, because basically everything ends for them, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're done. You know, I mean, their case is done. What's the last thing they can do? What's the last leg they're going to try to stand on? Do you remember?
I mean, their closing arguments are going to be, we have all the hard evidence. Don't follow your heart. Follow the evidence. We have the fibers. We have the blood. We have the DNA. But this thing's locked in.
Yeah, I think Darden spurning Marcia Clark, built the fire, and then him losing on the glove thing, you know, was lighting the match.
Yeah.
Like, they're done.
I think we're going to see Robert Kardashian take a more center stage role, and he is going to be, I think, for the makers of this show, he is in a lot of ways the conscience of the show, and he's going to be that person who doesn't matter. He's not, you know, he's not really a lawyer on the defense team. He's not a juror. Like, he's just, he wants the actual truth. He's not playing any games. He's not playing any legal games. He just wants the truth.
But how about the ethics then? If that raises a question, if that's what he wants and that's what he's going to be about.
Yeah.
How do we handle that scene? That same scene where he says, I'm just going to sit back and let the case run its course. Right. I'm not going to say anything, because if I do, I will convict him.
Right. If I quit the defense team, I'll convict him, which shows a complete lack of spine by him.
Yeah. Yeah. Which,
so he wants the
understandable.
Truth,
it's understandable, truth, but it's
really
also
wants the truth.
Yeah. It's and understandable.
But here's the question. Does he not really want the truth? Because it means his buddy goes down, or does he not really want the truth because it implicates him for being a bad judge of character?
Well, it implicates him in the sense that he's like a kind of would become a social pariah. Like it would be, you know, it would reflect poorly on him and his family.
Yeah.
There's no guilt there, right, for him? I mean, he's not he wasn't there that night, was he?
Boy, he sure was a part of it. Remember, OJ gave him the bag, and he was on the phone with
you're right, with AC. Yeah.
AC, I mean,
yeah. So, yeah, there's probably a lot of reasons where he's going to stay silent. But
plus, he probably knew about the times OJ beat Nicole prior, more than these other people.
Gosh, what about you just keep making me think of how good scenes from this episode. I'm going to take it back. I don't think this was a terrible episode. It just wasn't one of the best, but the scene where he's practicing with the yeah. lawyer, with yeah. OJ's practicing, yeah. he's just laughing yeah. through the whole thing. And they're yeah. like, no, this guy is not going on the stand.
This is terrible. They just keep making like these sidebar eye rolls at each other like, there is no way we're putting this guy on the stand. What a disaster that would be. Just
burn the thing down.
And OJ's like, I can do it. Like, people yeah. love
me. Yeah.
And Johnny actually believed it until he saw him practice. Oh my god, that was amazing.
It's you're not going to be here next week.
Yeah,
so we're going to have John Booker on, which is going to be great. He'll be he's into the show. He's excited about having a conversation.
I'll listen in,
get his insight, and then you'll be back, and we'll wrap up for the final episode, and then we'll lead into The Path on Hulu.
Can't wait, man.
Which is getting a lot of publicity here in LA. There are posters everywhere. Oh yeah, it's on the buses, all the bus stops.
Wow.
Big billboards and stuff.
That's like the Young Messiah publicity.
It is.
It's everywhere.
You can't miss it.
The question is about The Path. Is it theologically orthodox? And there's only one person who can answer that question for us.
You know what? We'll get to that when we watch The Path.
All right, brother.
And listen, we gotta pitch ourselves to Aaron Paul and say, look, we're here. We're not here to ask about your personal religious life. We're here to talk about
the show,
quality of your show, what your show's talking about. We got to get him on there.
Two PhDs, no waiting.
There it is. Okay, hey, have fun on your marvelous vacation.
How many people call you doctor in your everyday life?
If I am in the classroom like I was on Monday, I lectured at LMU and I was introduced as Dr. Parker.
Oh, nice.
I get people talk about the fact that I have a PhD, but nobody really calls me doctor. In this town, it doesn't matter.
Once a year it happens.
Once a year. My mother-in-law calls me doctor.
That's nice. It's cute.
Yeah, it is.
Boss lady?
No, no way. Are you kidding me?
Just once a year on your birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the date of my graduation.
All right. See y'all next week. I won't be here.
Have fun on the beaches.
We'll do.
Later.